entered into that time of graduation, I was thinking about my kids, and one of the things they were very proud of were their grades, my two youngest ones specifically. And as we were, you know, talking about, you know, end of the year, the grades, what they had, and all those different things, and I thank God for my kids, amen. They got their mother's brain. I'm on somebody, because in school, mine was, y'all don't even know what your pastor got, amen. Your boy was struggling, amen. But they got these great grades, and we were talking, and they were looking at certain things, and you know, based on certain grades, you can tell where you need to improve. If it's higher than a C, amen. Come on, somebody. There's some improvement that's needed. And as I was looking at that, I started thinking about Christianity, and I started thinking this week, and even more so about our subject this morning. If there's one area of our life where you grade yourself as a Christian, if you had to go through the checklist of Christianity, I'm just curious to what area you would say you need to be better, that there's room to grow. And as I began to just seek in my spirit and just talk with the Lord, I believe that there's one area where every Christian on planet Earth can get better in. And I believe no matter how deep you are, no matter your title, there is one area where we look at the report of our spiritual life and say, there's room for me to get better. And that area that I'm talking about is prayer. Everybody say prayer. Every Christian in this room, I don't care what you say, you got room to get better in your prayer life. You've got room to get better in your prayer life, because the one thing I notice about us as believers is that as sanctified as we think we are, we don't pray enough. And I really mean that, because it's amazing, because prayer is the one thing that keeps us connected to our Creator. Prayer is the one thing that you know, we seek God for all eternity, but we don't seek God for daily things. We call on Him, and one of the greatest strengths of a believer is our prayer life. Somebody say our prayer life. And what I want to talk this morning about is I want to talk on the subject of prayer stoppers. Everybody say prayer stoppers. Because one of the things that I believe that we've got to understand is that it's amazing, because as a child of God, your greatest strength is your prayer life. But at the same time, it's probably the greatest weakness of every person in this room. That we can quote scriptures, we can sing worship song, but something about that prayer life just seems to be laborious. And as I wrestle with God about this, He began to speak to me on these things. And see, to me, I don't know if you know this, though, is because prayer is your greatest gift on this planet right now. And no matter, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not liking where I'm at in life. I'm not exactly excited about how things are going in my life. Let me help you out. Because here's the thing. No matter where you are in life, the reason you are where you are is because of prayer. It may not be where you want it to be, but let me tell you, if it had not been for prayer somewhere, you wouldn't be where you are right now today. I know many people say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm believing to be here. Let me tell you something, boo. If it had not been for prayer, you wouldn't have what you have right now. You wouldn't have the health you have, even if you're going through. And you say, well, I haven't been praying. That's the good thing about prayer, because somebody done prayed for you and you didn't even know they were praying for you. And it's the reason why you probably are still here standing today. See, that's a great thing, because many of us, we go through life, we say, well, I haven't been praying. I'm not sure if that works for me. Trust me, somebody's been praying for you. Somebody's been laboring before the Lord. Somebody's been keeping hell off your back. Somebody's been keeping those devils away because they've been praying on your behalf. Truth be told, the only reason I'm standing here, because in the days that I was not praying, somebody was praying for me. In the days where I was not seeking God the way I should have been seeking God, I had a mama somewhere. I had a daddy somewhere. I had people in church somewhere. And truth be told, church, if you belong to this church, every Saturday at 10 a.m. we're lifting up the name of Jesus. We're praying for you while you're not even praying for yourself. We're loosing angels around your children. We're pleading the blood over your house. We're praying for your job. And the reason you've made it this far in 2019 is because prayer has gave you what you need up in here. Touch your neighbor, say prayer is your strength. See, because many times we say, well, I prayed, and you know, because we'll pray, you know, God, I'm praying I don't go through the surgery. I'm praying I don't lose the job. And here's the reality, is sometimes God don't bail us out. He doesn't bail us out. I don't know if you've been saved long enough to realize that sometimes God does not bail us out of certain things. And what we've got to realize is not that God did not help you out. When you went to prayer to seek him, you got strength to get through what you wanted him to remove. He says, I'm not going to remove it, but I'm going to give you the strength to survive whatever you got to go through. And that's why when you came out of prayer, you were better than you were when you went into prayer. Because that's the power of our prayer life, is understanding that whenever you seek God, God gives you strength. Man, this is why I've grown in my walk as a child of God, that I realize if God does not answer my prayer, he'll give me strength for whatever I got to deal with in life. If I got to go through the surgery, he's going to make sure there's angels standing over the room while I'm having surgery. He's going to make sure the blood of Jesus touched every doctor, whether they're an atheist, whether they're a Christian. He's going to make sure that if I pray that I don't lose the job, if I lose the job, he'll sustain me. He'll maintain me. God will make sure that I come through whatever I've got to come through. And this is why I believe that every Christian's got to grow in this area. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to have a better prayer life, better prayer life. But here it is. Here's why I really like prayer, is because Jeremiah says it, Jeremiah 33. Watch what he says here. I want to make sure you catch this morning, because we got to get somewhere. In Jeremiah 33, watch what he says here. He says, call to me and I will answer you. Okay, y'all missed a good shout on a Memorial Day weekend. Not only does prayer give you strength, but watch this. You serve a God who answers prayer. Let me, okay. Let me make sure you read the same thing I'm reading. God is speaking. He says, call to me, and I'll answer you. Okay. All right, let me say it one more time. Third time's a charm. God speaking. He says, call to me, and I will answer you. That's good stuff right there. You serve a God who answers prayer. See, it's one thing for us to realize that you pray, but you have a God that literally answers prayer. And church, if that doesn't get you excited about being a child of God, and you say, well, Pastor, why am I excited? Because not everybody's God that they believe in actually answers prayer. But you serve a living God who answers prayer. He says, when you call to me, I'll answer your prayer. Let me teach you for a minute. Go over to 1 Kings real quick. 1 Kings 18 and 24. We're going to work through this thing on Memorial Day weekend, even if I got to put you on my back and carry you to the promised land. We're going to get there this morning. Amen. 1 Kings 18, 24. Watch this says. I like when Elijah's talking. He's talking to these ungodly prophets. Watch what he says. He says to them, I love the Bible. It's like mafia movies. You understand? It's just like amazing. Watch what he says. He's talking to these other prophets. Elijah says, he says, you know, they have this thing about who's God and all. So he says, then you call on the name of your God. You know, that's a little g. He says, you call on your gods, little g, and I will call on the name of the Lord. I like that right there. And the God who answers, here it is, by fire, he is God. So all the people answering and said, it is well spoken. They said, okay, Elijah, I'll take you up on your bet. You call on your God, I'll call on my God. And whoever God answers, that is the true and living God. Watch what he says, verse 25. He goes on to verse 25. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first. For you are many and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Verse 26. Well, I like it right here. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon. Meaning they called on their God from morning, I like this right here, till noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. Watch what it says. Somebody say, no one answered. Everybody say, no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. Come on, somebody. They said, listen, we're going to get our God's attention one way or another here. So they start jumping on the altar, making sure their God could see them. Verse 27, watch what happens here. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry out loud, for he is a God. Either he's meditating or he's busy or he's on a journey. Perhaps he's sleeping. I like the Bible right here. You have this prophet sitting here literally making fun of these ungodly prophets of Baal. And he said, listen, call on your God. You've been calling on them for 4 hours, and your God has not even spoken. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's flying around the world. He says, must be awakened or something. Verse 28, watch what he says here. So they cried aloud and cut themselves as their custom with knives and lances until the blood gushed out. Verse 29, last verse, watch what it says here. And when midday had passed, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered. no one paid attention. Let me fast forward. Here it is. This is why I get excited when Jeremiah 33, God says, when you call, I will answer. Because we serve a God that when we call, our God will answer. When we call on Jesus in the hospital room, he will answer. When I call on him in the midnight hour, he will answer. When I call on him in the courtroom, he will answer. When I call on him with diabetes and cancer and I'm going through surgery, we got a God who's not busy enough. We got a God who will answer. Buddha won't answer. Muhammad won't answer. But Jesus Christ is a true and living God who will still answer because he's alive and well today. Slap your neighbor, say, we serve a living God. That's why I like our God right here. See, that's why when I see Jeremiah 33, when we have a God who says, call and I'll answer. God says, you call, I got your back. You call, I'll be right there. Watch Psalms 91, 15. Look what it says right here, Psalms 91 and 15. Because he goes on to say in Psalms 91, 15, he talks about, he shall call upon me. Here it is again. I will answer him. Not only will he answer you, come on somebody, but you got a God who will be with you. It's one thing to answer me from long distance, but I want you to answer me and step into the fire with me. I will deliver him. I will honor him. And we got a God who's not too afraid to get in the fire. He's not too busy to get in the medical situation. He's not too busy to get in your financial crisis. He's not too busy to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to jump in the fiery fires with you and say, when you go through it, you go through it with your God. When you battle it, I'm right there by your side. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We got a God who answers prayer and who's always there with us. Slap your neighbor, say, we serve a good God. Here it is. So my question becomes, when we got a God this good, church, help me out. Why does our prayer life suffer? Why